around the spare play. I talked to George Harrison.
Hey, there, George. Oh, look, Jim, not so bad, you know. The team's going well. So far, so good. Big one here in Boston tonight, too. It should be nice.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see you later. Next show on it again.
Yeah,
had a good show. Thank you.
Showtime is 8 p.m. at Shuffle and Down, the local racetrack. This is Jim Stagg on tour with the Beatles in Boston. Hardly a press conference goes by that the Beatles are not asked the secret to their success. They usually dismiss the question with a flippant remark such as, if we knew, we would form another group and manage them. However, in Boston, Paul McCartney had this insight into their phenomenal popularity.
Good. That's right. Must I drive a bit of trouble because I've met my long lost uncle and aunt. I haven't seen him for about 12 years. He's a great fella. And so I sat round about 6 in the morning talking to him. So then I only had about 4.5 hours sleep to get last night.
What did you talk about when you talked to a relative of yours that moved you way back?
But it's more interesting when it's a relative, especially when you haven't seen them for so long.
I talked to a prediction. He made a prediction or a reference that you would be a literary giant.
I think you fabricated it in the wrong direction.
Because you have no desires to write?
Well, I don't know. You know, I don't mind. I quite like it, but I just don't see any talent in writing for me.
What about each of you in one respect? There's something unique about you. You've got your little thing that you do over and above what the Beatles do. Ringo with his photograph book, John with his own book, and Paul with songwriting. What can you do?
Nothing so far. Actually, I tried to songwriting, as you know.
You wrote your song.
Well, I wrote the rap. One has been recorded. I've got a couple more almost finished. It's the sort of very lax, but very difficult. Good word.
That's a good word.
And, you know, I'm a deep in a lot of things. And I just pack in, you know, and get fed up, and then I'll go back to it in about 3 months' time, probably, and finish them off. And so I've done the five songwriting. I think the main thing I'd like to do, but I haven't got much time, is to produce records. You know, be an independent record producer. That'd be a laugh. I'd like to do that, you know, arranging things and telling other people how to do it.
What's your name?
I'm John Levinsky.
And you're a local here?
Yeah, I'm from Malden, Mass.
And you're going to leap up on stage right
yeah.
this moment?
Yeah, I'll try.
Okay, there he goes. He's going to leap up now. He's on stage, and he's got hold of John. He's got hold of Paul. Now he's getting George. They've got him off stage right now. They've pushed him off. And he's been grabbed by all the police. What an interview.
Woohoo!
I bet this is an exclusive. They've got him by the legs and arms. And they're taking him off right now. He's being bundled in a police car. Oh boy, it's all happening tonight, friends, in Boston.
It's your first trip south?
No, we've been to Texas before.
Uh-huh. Where are you going when you leave here?
Cincinnati, that's it.
Cincinnati,
yeah.
And how long are you going to be in the States?
About two more weeks.
2 more weeks?
Yes.
Uh-huh. What did you have for lunch?
I didn't eat much. Anyway, I must go. It's getting boiling.
All right. Thank you very much.
Here we are with the Beatles at Memphis Stadium with Ken Douglas giving you the latest reports on the Beatles. Tonight, the second show of the Beatles. They just appeared on stage. A great roar from the crowd. Fantastic crowd here tonight. 18,000 here in Memphis. The Southern hospitality is really showing.
Thank you. difference has all this row made to this tour, do you think? Any at all? Paul?
I don't think it's made much difference. It's made it more hectic. It's made all the press conferences mean a bit more. People said to us, you know, last time we came, all our answers were a bit flippant. And they said, why isn't it this time? And the thing is, the questions are a bit more serious this time.
It doesn't matter about people not liking our records or not liking the way they look or what we say. You know, they're entitled to not like us. We're entitled not to have anything to do with them if we don't want to, or not to regard them. You know, we've all got our rights, you know.
It seems to me you've always been successful because you've been outspoken and direct and forthright and all this sort of thing. Does it seem a bit hard to you that people are now knocking you for this very thing?
Yes, Richard.
It seems very hard.
It seems hard. It seems hard. You know, free speech.
As the 60s went.
Do you mind being asked questions, for example, in America, people keep asking you questions about Vietnam. Does this seem useful?
Well, I don't know. You know, if you can say that war's no good and a few people believe you, then it may be good. I don't know. You can't say it too much, though. That's the trouble.
It seems a bit silly to be in America and for none of them to mention Vietnam as if nothing was happening.
But why should they ask you about it? You're successful entertainers.
That is
why
the thing. You know.
Because Americans always ask showbiz people what they think about it. So do the British, you know. Showbiz, you know how it is. But I mean, you've just got to, you can't just keep quiet about anything that's going on in the world unless you're a monk. Sorry, monks, I didn't mean it. I meant actually.
You see, we're not, when we say anything like that, we don't say it as older people seem to think, to be offensive. We mean it, helpfully, you know, and if it's wrong, what we say, okay, it's wrong, and people can say, you know, you're wrong about that one. But in many cases, we believe it's right, you know, and we're quite serious about it.
But do you mind being asked questions, for example, in America, people keep asking you questions about Vietnam. Does this seem useful?
Well, I don't know. You know, if you can say that war's no good and a few people believe you, then it may be good. I don't know. You can't say it too much, though. That's the trouble.
It seems a bit silly to be in America and for none of them to mention Vietnam as if nothing was happening.
But why should they ask you about it? You're successful entertainer.
That is
why
they...
Because Americans always ask showbiz people what they think about it. So do the British, you know. Showbiz, you know how it is. But I mean, you've just got to, you can't just keep quiet about anything that's going on in the world unless you're a monk. Sorry, monks, I didn't mean it, I meant actually.
Well, it's Monday morning, and I'm standing outside the Sheraton Edward Hotel in Bombardy with gifts ranging from lipstick cases to sneakers.
I know what you mean, yeah, in a few cases it is, you know, it's better if we could play some of our newer things on stage, but in fact what has happened is that our recording activities have outgrown the performance ability. See, and we're not at this time able to able to go on stage and, for instance, do Eleanor Rigby, because if with performances as they are now, we got together eight violinists and eight string players, then, and I tried to sing Eleanor Rigby over that, they have to be complete, all of them have to be completely amplified. And it would be such a technical job. Now, it's a job you can only do in, like, the seclusion of a recording studio. So, I mean, there are just problems all along the line for that kind of thing. So, you know, it's really, it's necessary to do older numbers, or numbers that are very easy to do on stage. And so I suppose, you know, it can get a bit of a drag, but generally we enjoy playing them still, you know, because we try and change them even so on stage. You know, like yesterday we don't do with a string quartet, but we feel that we can do it sort of reasonably enough with just a couple of guitars and bass and drums. It's not very good, but it's reasonable. You know, I mean, we could do better in a recording studio, but due to the conditions, this is about as best as we can do.
Paul, it seems in the last 2 years since I've last seen you, there's been a tremendous change in all of you. I remember at one stage you tended to be a little offhandish with people, a little bit abrupt, a little bit And now you all seem to be much quieter and much more willing to talk and more free and easy.
I know what you mean, though. I was talking to someone about this just before. When we started off, we were like four Liverpool lads, just sort of, you know, and it was a whole bit. We were from the provinces, and we came down to London, and it seemed very cold. And then when people sort of made fun of your hair or something, we'd have a joke to say back at them, you know, so that they just didn't ever get us down. You know, we'd have sort of little comments for people, and we would sort of cut off from people we didn't like a lot more. But the thing is, as it went on and we became more accepted, and we accepted ourselves more as well, you know, I mean, we saw that it didn't make any difference where we came from. We were still thought people and as good as anyone else, you know. I mean, that kind of thing, I suppose you've got to sort that out for yourself. Anyway, I think we did. And so nowadays, people, no, just not nowadays, just a bit before, sort of like the last trip in America, people were still then asking sort of funny questions like, when are you going to get your hair cut? And I mean, they're silly questions, you know. So we were still flippant then. But nowadays, we've had the time between the last American trip and now to sort out more about ourselves and about people and things, and about how we can sort of get on with people. And so now, the thing is also that at the same time as we've worked that out, other people have as well. And like, people come up asking us questions now, and they don't ask us why don't we get our hair cut, or when are you going to join the army, you know, or some deaf question like that. They don't ask us that anymore, because all those questions have been asked and dealt with, you know, in the flippant way, admittedly, but I mean, they weren't very good questions anyway. So then now, when, I mean, for instance, you asked a question like that, you know, now you wouldn't have done that, say, 2 or 3 years ago. Well, you might have done, but most other people wouldn't. They would have just sort of said, you know, and what cornflakes do you eat for breakfast? But now the whole thing is getting more serious anyway. People are actually getting more interested in what we've been doing and what we've been trying to do, in a way. And for instance, people asking about our music now, they never really asked about it. They never asked us what we were doing with our music, you know. And it's good, you know, it all helps understanding. So, I mean, if people understand us a bit more, we're willing to understand anyone else. You know, we just love talking to people about it. If they're prepared to listen and also prepared to discuss it and give us ideas, you know, it's great. You can't help but go towards understanding.
Thank you very much for talking to us.
Okay.
Thanks.
Some things that they can't believe.
John, the riot that was started at Cleveland the other night, if you remember, was started by a guy who ran up onto the stage.
Oh, yes.
And last night, the only person who broke through the barriers was again another boy.
Well,
is this new for you? Or
it's not all that new, you know. It was used to be lads that always broke through in the early days, you know, because they sort of set the pattern. They'd be the fastest and the strongest. But there's more lads in America watching and shouting than there were. You know, I think they're just more interested in the records now.
How much of your successful records do you think are due to George Martin? What sort of percentage would you... Yeah, to what degree is the success of the Beatles, shall we say, due to George?
It's too hard to gauge, yeah. There's definitely a measured amount of, things that George Martin did. But I can't, he's so part of it, you know, you can't even remember what he suggested or what you suggested or anything over that period. He just taught us all we know technically, especially what to do in the studio mainly. And we found out ourselves as well, but he showed us. Yup.
John,
you travelled all over the world. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. But
most of the
things you see are the fact being inside
a hotel room. Do you ever get to the point where you feel like an animal in a cage and you wish that you could get out and not be a beast? Just first one day.
Yeah, sometimes, you know, but not on tour. You know, we keep saying it because we come on tour to work, you know. We're not interested in Smithy's little archaeological building, you know. We'd come to places we want to see, we can go and see. God willing, when we're older, anything that's worth seeing. At least we get a glimpse of people and attitudes and things in different parts of the world, even if it is limited to hotels and Lord Mayor's parlours, you know.
I'd like to ask you the same question I just asked Paul. Is there one thing, if you can put your finger on one big thing that really disturbs you in the world today?
War.
Right,
now what's your idea of utopia? Utopia? No war. That's it again. Well, it's near it, you know, it's a start. Yeah. I mean, it wouldn't be the answer just to have no wars. It might be a start. You know how impressionable kids are. You know. I don't believe the myth that they all just do this when some pop star tells them that they all just do that. I think they'd work it out for themselves. If there was more truth written about drugs and not so much lies and sort of sensationalism written about them, probably the, you know, the record wouldn't be looked as frowned upon so much. You know, they want to sort of educate people about what the drugs actually are that people are singing about. They might help instead of just banning the records and making it even more sort of, I don't know, mysterious for the kids to want to find out what it's all about that all these people are singing about and talking about, but they never quite find out what it is. Nobody ever tells them anything truthfully.
About your friends, you know, you've got to try very hard to differentiate between who are the hangers-on and who are the real friends.
Very hard to try at all, you know.
What are you looking for, a real friend?
I don't look for anything. Friends are friends. You just find friends, you know. And the rest are just either nice people or people.
A con man can very often act like a friend.
It never lasts long, but, you know, you don't have con men living around you for years, so somebody just comes in and does a quick con, so what? You know, that's his life. I've never felt, you know, although I've been conned bad enough, there's been a few people who have conned me into bringing a different from what they are. But I've also conned a few other people into bringing them different from what I am, so worth it. Both ways, really.
Carl, you're a very keen musician. You come away and turn down the stadium and sing. You can't hear it. Can you really get much satisfaction out of that?
Not for the musical part of yourself, just for the show part of yourself. As a show, it's valid, and music, it's, you know, not quite right.
Did you ever feel guilty, you know, the way you had to dive into this van today? Did you ever feel a bit sort of, well, I wouldn't say guilty, but sorry for the kids that can be waiting for hours, you know?
No, there's just nothing you can do, even in places where you know damn well that you just get driven past and weighed on. You can't argue with the police, and they're the people that have the upper hand, and, you know, they must do it their way, or you can't, you don't get cooperation.
Can I just put the same tag of a question on as I did to George? The most interesting or exciting escape that you ever had to make from a show?
I haven't a clue. They're not interesting to me. And the only interest in them is that I do escape. I don't enjoy all the James Bond bit about it.
When you're alone with friends, what are the subjects you most like to discuss?
Either anything under the sun, honestly. It's usually about, you know, serious things or very light-hearted one extreme to the other.
Do you read a lot, John?
I don't know how much other people read, you see, but I've been told I read a lot. I don't feel that I read more than I'm capable of or feel like reading. My output of reading seems natural to me, but other people seem to think I read a lot, so that I must do compared with them. But there's people, you know, I don't read half as much as I could.
Who are your favourite authors?
I haven't any, really, because I just read everything and anything. But not, you know, not that wide, but I just, there's very few people I can remember. I keep all the books I like, or that had an influence on me, so I don't have to remember the names and the titles to tell everybody what I read. I've got them in the house. You know, I can't remember what half of them are, but I know where they are, just about, and what they were saying.
Thank you very much.
Okay.